This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Shoren Brown, Bristol Bay Campaign Director for Trout Unlimited, a nonprofit whose mission is to conserve, protect, and restore North America's cold water fisheries and their watersheds. Shoren Brown is here today to tell us about the Save Bristol Bay campaign to protect Alaska's Bristol Bay and stop the proposed pebble mine. Welcome, Shoren.
Thanks for having me.
Before we start talking about the campaign, would you like to begin by saying a few words about Trout Unlimited?
Sure. Trout Unlimited is the nation's oldest cold water conservation organization. We've got about 140,000 members nationwide, and our members are very passionate about fish and fishing, volunteer hundreds of thousands of hours a year for people's backyard favorite places to hunt and fish.
How did the Save Bristol Bay campaign come about?
This campaign really came about 6 or 7 years ago in our Alaska program. Our director, Tim Bristol, who's been in Alaska for 17 years doing conservation work, heard from a lodge owner, a guy who owns a lodge and makes his living off people sport fishing in Bristol Bay. Tim got a phone call and Brian Kraft said, "Hey, I've heard about this proposed mine in my backyard and I'm really concerned because my living is made from bringing anglers in from all over the world to fish this pristine, incredible area called Bristol Bay, Alaska. And two foreign mining companies, it appears, have proposed the world's largest open pit gold and copper mine right in the headwaters of the two most important rivers." So Tim said, "Wow, sounds like something we need to pay attention to." And that was really the start of this thing that has blossomed into what's become the most important issue for our organization. Today, we see this as the singular threat to wild salmon and trout in the Pacific coast.
Would you say more about where Bristol Bay is located within Alaska?
Bristol Bay is about an hour and 20-minute commercial flight southwest of Anchorage. It's the bay, for those of you who watch Deadliest Catch, the show about crabbing on the Discovery Channel, it's the bay that is right next to where all that crabbing is going on. So, hour and a half southwest of Anchorage, there's hardly any roads in the area. The biggest town is Dillingham. It has a few thousand people in it. It's an incredibly remote area, mostly populated by Alaska Natives and people who are very attached to living the traditional way of life still.
What is the goal of the Save Bristol Bay campaign?
The goal is to make sure that Bristol Bay, which is the single most important salmon fishery on the Pacific coast at this point, and certainly the single healthiest, continues to pump out the 40 million sockeye salmon a year that it has for thousands and thousands of years. And those salmon are important for a number of reasons. I work for a hunting and fishing organization, so our interest clearly is we want to be able to go and enjoy natural resources the way people did when Theodore Roosevelt was still around protecting places like this. It's also very important to the local native people who depend on these resources. There's no grocery stores in Igiagig, Alaska. These people, 80% of their food supply is coming out of the river. And then those salmon feed the grizzly bears and the moose, and these resources that come from the salmon trickle up through the food chain there. So they're incredibly important to local native people. And then there's a commercial fishery that's been going on in Bristol Bay for 115 years that employs about 14,000 people and pumps about $500 million into the economy every year. So Trout Unlimited, we got into this fight because this is an incredible sport fishery, but we've gotten to be very close with our partners in the Alaska Native community and the commercial fishing world too.
Well, you've been alluding to this, but would you say more about the environmental importance of Bristol Bay?
The environmental importance is, I think, best summed up in the story of Pacific salmon up and down the Pacific coast and throughout the Pacific Rim. In California, Oregon, and Washington, unfortunately, we've seen stocks really decline over the past 50 years. And to date, in states like Washington, where we are right now, many of those salmon stocks are on the endangered species list. And there's a whole host of reasons for why that's happened. But one of the big ones is, frankly, we beat up the habitat that these fish depend on. And in Bristol Bay, you have this absolutely pristine, it doesn't get any better. God couldn't have made it any better. Habitat that's millions of acres. That's just an absolute fish factory. So from my perspective, it's kind of crazy that we're talking about spending additional dollars in all these other places. We've spent almost $18 billion in the Pacific Coast trying to restore fish habitat for these salmon stocks. And at the same time, we're talking about putting the biggest open pit mine on the planet right in the headwaters of the best of what's left. If we just leave Bristol Bay alone, it will continue to support 14,000 jobs. It'll continue to pump hundreds of millions of dollars into the economy. And it will continue to support a native culture that's been around for tens of thousands of years.
Would you say more about the economic importance to Washington State specifically?
Senator Maria Cantwell, who I can't say enough nice things about right now, she's been a real champion on this issue, held a press conference last week in Fisherman's Terminal down in Ballard. And with her on the stage at the press conference was the employee of Sage Reddington Rio, which is the biggest manufacturer of fly rods on the planet. They employ 188 people on Bainbridge Island. They estimate that 35% of the products they manufacture end up in Bristol Bay. So an absolute direct connection. Standing next to her also was a commercial fish processor who processes hundreds of millions of pounds of fish every year and employs thousands of Washingtonians. So those are two good examples. There's also 900 Washington residents that own commercial fish permits to fish in Bristol Bay. So these guys live in Washington all year, head up to Bristol Bay in the summertime and fish that fishery. They tend to employ other Washingtonians on their commercial fishing boats, and they make great money and they spend that money in Washington State, whether it's on supplies at Costco or a welder to fix their boat or a new net. The economic ripple effect from this fishery is absolutely huge in Washington State. And that's what Senator Cantwell recognized. It's what Senator Patty Murray has recognized. And I think it's why this issue is becoming a big one for residents of Washington.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Shorin Brown, director of the Save Bristol Bay campaign to protect Alaska's Bristol Bay and stop the proposed Pebble Mine. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Let's talk now about the mine itself and what actually is likely to come forward. And I guess they haven't yet applied for a permit, but they're in the planning stages leading up to that. But what do you know about what the mine would entail?
So what we know about the mine is that it would produce up to 10 billion tons of perpetually toxic mine waste. And let me just explain that for a second. So this mine would be an open pit mine, so they have to dig up this material and then sift through it for gold and copper, which is the economically recoverable piece of what this mine would be going after. About 1% of what they dig up would actually be copper and gold. Everything else is waste. And when you dig up this type of ore body and expose it to air and water at the same time, there's a high level of sulfide in the waste, you get sulfuric acid. And that acid at other mines has dropped the pH of streams down to the level of battery acid. So clearly not good for biota, for fish, for people. And it also loosens up other heavy metals. And I think for us at TU, that's one of the things we're most concerned about is the company itself has said they're going to pile the waste on the surface. This is a huge wetland. It's a wetland the size of Kentucky in Bristol Bay. And there's, frankly, water everywhere. And they're talking about having to contain this waste for thousands and thousands of years. This waste has no half-life. I was at a lecture recently with a member of the faculty at UW who studies fisheries and said he would rather they put nuclear waste on the ground out there because at least we know the half-life of that waste versus this mine waste. It's a very serious issue. There's a long track record of problems with this type of waste throughout the lower 48. And that's our biggest concern right now is that waste being piled on the surface.
Would you also speak about the dam that will be built to contain some of the waste?
So they would also build a dam 4 miles long and about 800 feet tall to contain this 10 billion tons of waste. It'd be bigger than the Three Gorges Dam in China. You're talking about just a huge industrial project in a watershed that is absolutely wild right now. And impacts from the dam, impacts from acid mine drainage. They would also have to build a new port, a new road, and a new power plant. this mine would use more energy than the city of Anchorage, which is the biggest city in Alaska right now. So from our perspective, there's no way you put all this industrial development in this watershed with these sensitive species and continue to get the salmon, which support the jobs and economy in the local area and in Washington State. The last thing I'll say about the mine is, as Pebble has become more front and center in their proposals and has put out more and more press to try and raise interest in the funding community, they have attracted other mining companies. So what started out as a very small mine claim just for the Pebble mine is now a network of hundreds of thousands of acres of mining claims from six or seven different companies. And all these other companies are waiting on Pebble for the infrastructure they would need. So these other mines would be uneconomic without the road, the power plant, and all the infrastructure that Pebble would bring. So the real nightmare scenario for Bristol Bay 30 years from now is not just Pebble, which would have huge impacts on its own, but six or seven Pebbles that are all built after this infrastructure comes in. And that's why the local native people in Bristol Bay have resoundingly said, we do not want this type of development in our communities. And 85% of the people in Bristol Bay have said they're opposed to Pebble.
Which are the companies involved in the Pebble project itself, and what do you know about them?
The two companies that are part of the Pebble partnership, which is the conglomerate they put together to try and open this project, are Anglo American, which is one of the biggest mining companies on the planet, and Northern Dynasty, which is a smaller company based in Canada. And both of those mining companies have a track record of developing some fairly responsible mines and also developing some mines that have some very big water pollution problems. And for us, it's not about a no mining position. Trout Unlimited, I'm actually very proud to work for this organization because we generally try and strike a balance between developers and conservation. If there's a way to develop resources responsibly, create more jobs from that economic development, and protect fish habitat, that's really the sweet spot we're looking for. So we're absolutely not anti-mining. We've worked with mining companies all over the country to try and develop more responsible practices. The problem with this one really is that neither Northern Dynasty or Anglo-American have been willing at all to engage in a discussion with us about protecting this fish habitat. They say that if there are impacts, they will augment the natural stocks, which means build hatcheries. And that's exactly the types of issues we're struggling with in the lower 48. We just don't think it's appropriate in this watershed.
Who actually owns the land upon which the mine might be built?
The land is owned by the state of Alaska. So unlike other big conservation battles in Alaska, like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge or the Tongass National Forest, which are on federal public land, Pebble is proposed on state land. And the state, for the past 50 years, has managed this land for habitat. The state of Alaska actually recognized Bristol Bay in the 1970s as being so important economically due to the fisheries out there that they withdrew the entire area from oil and gas development. Unfortunately, they did not foresee that there would be a huge debate over hard rock mining and open pit mining here. But for a very long time, the state recognized this area and it's important for fisheries. Under the Murkowski administration, the Department of Natural Resources very much arbitrarily, from our perspective, changed the way the land is managed in Bristol Bay from being 90% focused on habitat protection and fisheries to being 90% open for hard rock mining. Part of the way they did that was by saying the criteria for protecting this as a fisheries habitat was based on whether or not marine species were found. So this will sound like a joke, because frankly it is. They said upland habitat, so rivers that are 30 miles from the mouth of Bristol Bay, because they didn't have walrus in them, which is a saltwater species, would no longer be considered habitat and be open for mining. It's absolutely ridiculous.
In May, a draft EPA watershed assessment came out about the potential impacts of mining in the Bristol Bay area. What led to this draft study, and why did the EPA become involved?
The EPA got involved because seven federally recognized Native American tribes petitioned the EPA. And essentially, they said, listen, we've been talking to the state of Alaska for 6 years. The state has, during that time, you know, flipped what was 90% protected to 90% open for mining. They've ignored our calls to protect this area for fisheries. They've ignored our calls to protect our food source and our traditional way of life. So they turn to the EPA, which is not a common thing in Alaska. Alaskans tend to not appreciate the federal government getting involved in their affairs. And they asked the EPA to come in, use the Clean Water Act, to take a look at whether or not a mine like Pebble Mine could be built in Bristol Bay without having severe impacts on the salmon resources. And the EPA started a watershed assessment about a year and a half ago. That came out in May. Absolutely damning from our perspective for the Pebble Partnership. I mean, the conclusions of the EPA report say up to 80 miles of salmon streams will be destroyed, hundreds of acres of wetlands will be destroyed, and salmon habitat will be destroyed in a best case scenario. In a worst case scenario, with a, say, a dam failure where you have hundreds of millions of gallons of toxic waste flowing into these rivers, it would be absolutely devastating to the local Alaska Native communities, the sport fishermen who depend on this for their clientele and for the commercial fishermen. So the EPA has been petitioned to use a section of the Clean Water Act to withdraw the area that Pebble has asked to dump their mine waste from having toxic waste deposited in it. It's a very common sense proposal that the tribes, Trout Unlimited, Bristol Bay Native Corporation, the National Council of Churches, Tiffany and Company, the jeweler who has promised never to source gold from this mine if it's built, have all come together and said, we're not anti-mining, we're just saying, if you're going to build this mine in a place with such outstanding natural resources and all these people who depend on it for their livelihood and their jobs, you've got to have some really strict sidebars for how you do it. You can't just go dumping toxic mine waste into salmon habitat.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Shorin Brown, director of the Save Bristol Bay campaign to protect Alaska's Bristol Bay and stop the proposed Pebble Mine. So this is a draft watershed assessment. How will the EPA follow up?
So the EPA just held public hearings this past week. First one was in Seattle, actually. 360 people showed up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, left their jobs, left their families, came down because Bristol Bay is that important to them, that important to their jobs. And of those 360, maybe 8 people in the audience said they support the Pebble proposal moving forward. The EPA then went to Anchorage and a lot of the smaller communities in Bristol Bay this weekend. Over 85% of the 2,200 people that testified between Seattle and Igiagig, Alaska, a tiny, tiny village, are opposed to the Pebble Mine. So the message is clear. I think the results are in, frankly. We've got hundreds of pages of science now from a federal agency saying unequivocally, if you build Pebble Mine, Bristol Bay will be changed forever and not for the better. And now you've got thousands of people from Alaska to Seattle standing up and cheering, literally, for the EPA and thanking them for stepping in when the state didn't.
I understand that there is an independent scientific peer review panel that will be evaluating the proposal as well. Would you like to comment on that and also the opportunity for people to comment on the draft proposal?
So the draft proposal is out for public comment until July 23rd. There is a peer review panel that will be meeting of independent scientists. We're very confident that they will find what the EPA itself found, that it's impossible. You know, 10 billion tons of toxic mine waste and salmon fisheries don't mix. I would encourage anybody listening to this show who's interested in this issue to visit our website at savebristolbay.org. We've got a lot of information about the EPA's watershed assessment and tools for citizens to engage and make sure that their voice gets heard in this too. And if your job or your passion is sport fishing and you care about Bristol Bay, I encourage you to engage on this issue.
So then does the EPA have the authority to make a determination that the project should not go forward?
The EPA does, and it's a section of the Clean Water Act called Section 404C. It's only been used 13 times in the history of the Clean Water Act. 11 of those times were under Republican administrations. So it's a bipartisan tool. And it's meant to be used very carefully in situations where the natural resources at risk are absolutely unmatched and the threat is very specific and it's clear that the natural resources at risk would be impacted. And I don't see how any reasonable person who takes a look at the proposed Pebble Mine and looks at Bristol Bay, which is, you know, the biggest producer of sockeye salmon on the planet, comes to the conclusion that this mine should be built in this watershed. So we believe the standard for the 404C has been met. We're pushing very hard to convince the Obama administration and the EPA to take the next step, which is just as much about political will as it is about science. We strongly believe that the scientific standard has been met. And now we're calling on the president to come in and take this home and say, you know what? This is not worth the impact to American jobs, to the sport fishery, and to the native communities in Bristol Bay. This is the wrong thing to do. This mine should not be built, and we're going to use the 404C measure to stop it.
To what extent does the state of Alaska have the ability to modify or stop the project?
The state has oversight over the majority of permits. This Clean Water Act permit that the EPA has authority over is the singular federal permit that the mining company would need to move forward, which is pretty amazing given the fact that Bristol Bay literally feeds the world with its 40 million sockeye salmon every year. The state really does not ever have the opportunity in its permitting process to say no. The state of Alaska's large mine permitting team has never denied a permit for a large mine in its history. The way those regulations are set up, it's really about asking questions concerning, you know, where the waste pile is located, where would the road be, what color are the dump trucks. That permitting process is really not set up to ask the question, does this mine belong in this place? Is this in the public interest to put this type of development in this location? And that is the question that the EPA is asked and the one that we hope the president supports them in moving forward with on the next step.
What is the view of the business community in Alaska toward the mine outside of the fish industry, which you already mentioned does not want it?
The view of industry in Alaska is really mixed on this one, which is incredible because if you look at any other conservation issue in the history of Alaska, generally it's people from the lower 48 who've called for conservation and Alaskans and Alaskan businesses who've said, let's drill the Arctic Refuge, let's clear cut the Tongass, let's, you know, fill in the blank. The Bristol Bay Native Corporation, I think, is a very interesting example of the business community in Alaska coming out and saying, we're very concerned about this type of development in Bristol Bay. So the Bristol Bay Native Corporation represents its native shareholders in Bristol Bay and across the lower 48. It's a for-profit company. It's about a $2 billion company. They do $2 billion in industry every year. They have never opposed, and I just want to be clear about how significant this is. As far as I know, no other regional native corporation in Alaska has ever come out and opposed a project like this. And BBNC, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, they polled their shareholders. 80% of their shareholders came back and said they're opposed to Pebble. And BBNC has now written the president asking him to get involved in this project and stop it from moving forward. There's a long list of other Alaskan businesses who've come out and said, this is not good for our bottom line, for our jobs. And to sum up what's going on in Alaska right now, the state is about 50-50 in the most recent polls, which again is pretty amazing. That 50% of Alaskans don't want to see this development move forward. And the region is 80% opposed. And they're backed by a lot of important interests in that state, including the former head of the Republican Party, Rick Halford, who was the head of the RNC in Alaska for years and was the head of the Alaska State Senate, testified in Anchorage last week and said, I never thought I'd be saying this. I never met a mine I didn't like until Pebble. And he also said, I never thought I'd be inviting the EPA into my state. But he recognizes that the state regulators have absolutely failed to deal with the enormity of this issue. And it's time for the EPA to be involved.
What is the likely timeline for deciding whether the project can go forward?
The timeline is really over the next few months. The EPA now has this scientific document that supports a decision, a regulatory decision. And they're in the process of finalizing that. we believe a 404C action is warranted right now and should be started. So timeline-wise, this will play out over the next 6 to 8 months, I believe, and we'll have an answer one way or the other. The federal government will either step in and create a legacy of fish conservation and job protection in Alaska, or they will leave it to the state. And I think we're all very afraid about where the state will take this.
What is the Save Bristol Bay campaign planning over this period of time?
We've been engaging our members in Alaska, the coalition of groups that have come together on this. This is a pretty incredible coalition. It's the National Council of Churches, which represents about 45 million Christians in the U.S. They've become very involved because the Russian Orthodox Church is very strong in Bristol Bay and put a call out to their friends in the religious community asking them to get involved in opposing the pebble mine. Tiffany, I mentioned earlier, as a jeweler, really sees the pebble mine as a threat to its brand and the future of the jewelry industry because they're very confident that if it's opened, it will become a Superfund site eventually as they try and clean up the waste and see this as potentially impacting how people view gold jewelry and seeing it as being similar to the conflict diamonds issue. 500 hunting and fishing groups from across the country, from Alaska to New Hampshire, have weighed in at this point. These are people who are generally Republican-leaning to center of the road politically and generally do not support the EPA being involved in decisions like this, have said this one's different. We have to have the help of the EPA. So what we're really engaged in right now are making sure that all these incredibly important voices that have come out and said Pebble is the wrong mine in the wrong place, make it into the press, get in front of the president and the EPA, and really ensure that the American people know that Pebble is not just another place on the map and just another decision, but it's the biggest wild salmon fishery on the planet. And there's this incredibly diverse and powerful coalition that's come together to protect it. And it deserves protection. We need to focus on the fact that this president has an incredible opportunity in front of him to protect natural resources and jobs and the environment all at the same time. And it's going to take brave leadership, but he's got the support to get it done.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
The number one message here is get engaged. This is one that we absolutely cannot sit out. This place is the best of what's left when it comes to American fisheries. It's a jobs factory. It's a human rights issue. We need to listen to the local Native American tribes that are in Bristol Bay who are begging for our help to get their voice out there and to protect their way of life. And it's a huge issue for sportsmen. And if you care about any of those things, I beg of you, please get involved. Visit our website at savebristolbay.org. Learn more about this issue and make sure your voice is a part of this upcoming decision.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Shorin.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You have just been listening to Shorin Brown, director of the Save Bristol Bay campaign. For more information, check on the web at www.savebristolbay.org. Again, that's savebristolbay.org. And the industry website is pebblepartnership.com. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.